Amen. Praise the Lord for the special music, and what a blessing it has already been just being in this place. I trust that you sense the presence of the Lord as we have prayed that God would meet with us in a very special way and make this a place of refuge. And I trust that it has been up to this point a place of refuge for all that are here. If you have your Bibles with you, if you look with me to the book of 1 Corinthians in chapter 4, 1 Corinthians in chapter 4, we're going to be reading starting in verse 9 and we'll read down to verse 16. As I believe this is where God would have us to be this morning and receiving the message from the Word of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, if you would go ahead and stand with me, we'll begin reading in verse 9. As I read, you follow right along with me. The Bible says, "For I think that God has set forth us, the apostles, last, as it were appointed to death. For we are made a spectacle unto the world, and to angels, and to men. We are fools for Christ's sake, but ye are wise in Christ. We are weak, but ye are strong. Ye are honorable, but we are despised. Even unto this present hour, we both hunger and thirst and are naked and are buffeted and have no certain dwelling place and labor, working with our own hands, being reviled, we bless, being persecuted, we suffer it, being defamed, we entreat. We are made as the filth of the world and are the offscourging of all things unto this day. I write not these things to shame you, but as my beloved sons, I warn you. For though you have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet have ye not many fathers. For in Christ Jesus I have begotten you through the gospel. Wherefore I beseech you, be ye followers of me." Let's pray. Our Father and our God, as we bow before you this morning, we thank you for this privilege that we have to be in church. Thank you for your presence. Thank you for the holy scriptures that you have preserved for us that we might know the very mind of an almighty creator God. And I pray, God, this morning that you would just give each one here that ear to hear exactly what you have for them. I pray that you would use me once again as an instrument in your hand to bring forth your message to your people from your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. You may be seated. Be followers of me. The Apostle Paul is addressing the church at Corinth. Paul wants to encourage the believers to know who they are allowing to influence them. Paul knew that everyone is influenced by someone. And as we are influenced, we will influence others. The church at Corinth had a lot of problems with thinking more highly of men than what they ought to think, and allowing the different ones to influence them and their thinking and their ways of life. And as we read this morning, I believe that God has a message for us concerning this idea of who we are allowing to influence us and who we are influencing. And so a question that I would have, and I no doubt Paul was addressing this as well, is who has your ear? If you would stop and think for a minute, so many are blinded to it, they don't even realize how they're being influenced. And we need to be aware of who do we allow to influence us? And if I would ask you that, think about it, who would you say or what would you say has the most influence upon your life? And you might look at how you're living, what's going on inside of your heart and your mind, how you're thinking, what you're thinking about, and what is directing your life is an indication of what you're allowing to influence you. So who has your ear? Does the media, Do you find yourself gravitating to CNN? Or does possibly Fox News, which are totally opposite in how they view things? Or are you listening to some kind of a talk show host and you can't wait to be able to tune in to hear what kind of message they have for you on that particular day? Are you allowing the President of the United States to be the main influence of your life? Or maybe you're allowing somebody who has put it into writing, and you're allowing certain authors, and you read everything that they write. You can't wait for that new book to come out so that you can read that book and allow that author, whoever it might be, to impact your thinking. Maybe it's still, as young people, that you are still allowing your parents to be the main influence in your life. It could be, and praise the Lord for it if it's true, but it could be that you're allowing the church to have the greatest impact in your thinking and how you live your life. The true church, the biblical church, which means that you're allowing the Bible to be the most influential thing in your life. Whatever it is, we need to be aware of what we're allowing to influence us. Paul says here to the church, and again he says, follow me, but to start with in chapter 4, he says this, let a man so account up for of us as of the ministers of Christ. And if you're wanting to be influenced by Jesus Christ, then you're looking to, he's no longer here, but we are here as the ministers of Christ. And Paul would have been one of the apostles here. And he says, stewards of the mysteries of God, which would be the Bible. We're stewards of the mysteries, or what you can't learn on your own, but what God has brought to light and has written down and preserved it for us, the scriptures, the mysteries of God. And then he says, moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. So he's explaining to them this idea of allowing them to be the influence and their faithfulness to be Christ-like. He says in verse 6, he says, and these things, brethren, I have in a figure transferred to myself and to Apollos for your sakes, that ye might learn in us not to think of men, not to think of men above that which is written, that no one of you be puffed up for one against another. And then in verse 9, as we started our text this morning, he says, for I think that God has set forth us, the apostles, last, as it were appointed to death, for we are made a spectacle unto the world, and to the angels, and to men. So what Paul presenting here, and as we just kind of laid the foundation here, he revealed there that no man is to be worshipped. If we're allowing the philosophies of a man to be the biggest influence in our lives, then we have erred. And he's warning us. He said, I'm presenting this to you to warn you. He says in verse 14, if you're allowing the philosophies of man, humanism, to be the greatest influence in your life, then you're heading in the wrong direction. For no man is to be worshipped. And Paul goes on and presents the apostles. And in presenting the apostles, in verses 10 through 13, he says they're weak, they're despised, they're poor, they're persecuted. And he's presenting them as a way of saying, don't even look to us beyond what you need to look to us for. Don't worship us. Don't worship the apostles. Don't worship Apollos. Don't worship man. For we are not to be worshiped, and we are not to be lords, but servants and examples for them to follow. He warned them, and then he says, wherefore I beseech you, be followers of me. In verse 17, it says this, for this cause have I sent unto you Timotheus, who is my beloved Son and faithful in the Lord, who shall bring you into remembrance of my ways which be in Christ. My ways, follow me for my ways which be in Christ. In chapter 11 of 1 Corinthians, he would say in verse 1, be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. Which is, wow, that's where it's at. You only follow men as you find men following after Christ. We do not have Jesus Christ here physically to look to and to give us an example. And so throughout this New Testament church age, we need to have those that we believe that are following Christ and look to them as they follow Christ to have an impact on our lives. In Philippians in chapter 2, he addresses this as well, and let me just read it to you. In Philippians in chapter 2, in verse 5, he says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Don't follow the thinking of humanism. Don't follow the thinking of mankind, but have the mind or the thinking of Jesus Christ, who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation. As he had just presented, the apostles were not to be looked to as God, and they were not to be lords. He mentioned that they were weak and despised and poor and persecuted. But yet they would have the testimony of Christ, and so he could say, follow thou, follow me. But made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. And that was Jesus Christ. That was his testimony. That's what Paul now is saying, that that's what I'm following after. And as you look to me, as I look to Christ, then follow that lead. Jesus told his disciples to follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Jesus knew if they would follow, he could impact their lives just by his testimony. As his disciples followed him, it did impact their lives. Can I tell you, even today, everyone who is truly following Christ wants to see souls saved. Amen. Follow me and I will make you fishers of men. I will make you fishers of men just by you looking to me and listening to what I teach you and listening to what I tell you is the most important thing in this New Testament church age. And I will give you an example of having a love for humanity. I'll give you an example of how to witness to the lost. I'll give you an example on how to approach them and how to win them over so that they can become believers as well. And so he says, if you'll just follow me, you'll allow me to impact your lives. And if you're allowing Christ to impact your lives, even today, some 2,000 years later, if you're truly following the example of Christ, you can tell that because you have a desire to see souls saved. That's what being fishers of men is all about. Yeah. Paul would write as well in Philippians in chapter 3. It all goes together here, and I'm just laying the foundation here. Philippians in chapter 3 in verse 17, he says this, brethren, be followers together of me and mark them which walk so as ye have us for an example. For many walk of whom I have told you often and now tell you even weeping that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ. So he says, mark them. Now, if you're marking something, you're making a note of that. You're reminding yourself. You're wanting to make sure that you know this. We need to know who we're allowing to influence us. And you'll be able to tell how they're influencing you by what you are thinking about, how you're living your life, what direction you're going. Yeah. Mark them. So the first thing I want to present to you this morning out of this passage of Scripture that we just read is know who you should allow to influence you. And in Paul's day and age, it was the apostles, and he says, follow us. Follow me as an apostle. Can I tell you that God has always had witnesses in every generation of time? You go all the way back to the very beginning in the Old Testament. Even before God destroyed the world, he had the witness of at least one family, and that was Noah, to give the rest of the world an opportunity to follow him, and they wouldn't follow him, and they ended up drowning and dying. And then all through the Old Testament with the nation of Israel. The nation of Israel was there to represent God to the world, and it was a representation that if people would look to them, they could understand who the true and living God was, and they could actually follow the nation of Israel to come to know God. Follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. I'll introduce you to God and His plan and His purpose for life, and it will impact your life if you just follow. But you have to follow. They would have to follow. They would have to believe in the God of Israel. And then in this New Testament church age, we look back. Can I tell you that there's in every generation, there's some on a national scale. Even Paul said in our text there in verse 9, for I think that God has set forth us, the apostles, last, as it was appointed unto death, for we are made a spectacle unto the world. On a national scale or even a world scale, it was the apostles that the whole world during the apostolic age would have been aware of. And if they would have looked to the apostles, that would have led them in the ways of Christ. They would have, if they looked to the apostles, they would have had the mind of Christ. They would have had the direction of Christ. They would have been, if you will, Christian. I look back over in my generation, and as a young man, I remember some national people, men, that I knew that had a following that God was working through. And I would have an opportunity every now and then to go to a Bible conference, or I would go to hear these nationally renowned men that had the hand of God upon their lives. Not everybody is to have a world impact. Not everyone is going to be known nationally, but there are some in every generation. There have been some that even you think about in your generation, and you think of some that represented the Word of God and preached the Word of God. I think of the Billy Graham Crusades, and all when, especially as you go back in the very beginning of that, even the Southern Baptists, but the idea was it had a world impact. And there have been many that I can think of, and missionaries that have had an impact on the world, and other men on a national scale, and then there's others on a personal level that you might not have a world impact that you know of, but you can impact everyone who comes to the doors of your church. And I can think of Sunday school teachers that on a personal level impacted my life, even when I didn't realize it. But now I look back over my life and I said, yeah, I can see how God had a national, men that had an impact on the world, and then there's some that just had an impact in our local New Testament churches. Amen. But God has always had witnesses in every generation. Yes. But the other side of that is, so has Satan. You go all the way back, and there was an influence before the flood, and most of the world, all the world except for one family, followed the witness of the devil. The philosophies of the world, the philosophies of man. And then look in the New Testament, the Old Testament after that, and we find that there was always that evil that even the kings of Israel followed after, turned away from the witness of God and turned to the witness of Baal, and on and on and on. And then we look over the last 2,000 years, and there have been many that have influenced the world and influenced the United States of America to make laws that would be anti-God, legalizing abortion, and on and on and on. I could go on and on. Can I tell you, there have been those that have been, Satan has planted, that have had a national scale influence on evil. And there's some that he also has planted that has had local influences for evil. What sets them apart is Christ-likeness. The Bible. What helps us to know those that are influencing us for the right purpose and that's following after God is that their testimony is that of faithfulness to the Bible. They are Christ-like. And what helps us to see those negative plants that Satan has to impact the world is that they're anything but Christ-like. And yet today, too many believers are allowing the wrong influences to determine how you live your life and how you think. As a backslidden teenager, I remember, now that I look back on it, I was saved. I knew the right influences, but I blocked it out. And I turned to some worldly friends. To start with, I had worldly friends and then I had some church friends. And it was all who I allowed to have a greater impact on my life as to how I live my life. And at that certain point, I started allowing the worldly friends to have a more of an impact on my life. And when I allowed them to have an impact on my life, then their influences became mine on a national scale. And on a national scale, there were musicians that were as evil as you could get. And the music back in that day, the philosophies back in that day, was just to follow whatever you want to follow. Do whatever you want to do. Don't let anybody bring conviction into your life. And at that particular time, because their influence became my influences, and I was introduced to some musicians that were ungodly. And I would go to some of the concerts, and I allowed, can I tell you, it's amazing, and it's a miracle of God, the grace of God, that I'm not deaf today. And if I was investing in that day, it would have been in the loudspeakers. Because when I went away from the Christian realm of things and you go into the worldly atmosphere, it was the louder, the better. Today, I hate loud music. People drive up next to me, their boom boxes and boom, boom, vibrating your car and everything else. And I think, ah. But I would have been there as a teenager. Because I allowed the wrong friends, and then what was influencing them, because I allowed them to influence me, their influences became my influences. And outside of I being saved and the conviction of God was a part of my everyday life, it would have destroyed me. Thank God for conviction. I thank God for those godly witnesses that were on a national scale, because I'd go back home and my mom or dad would always want to bring up something that was taking place and this and that was going on and conference here, conference there, and this person and all these crusades and yeah. Godly witnesses that never gave up on me on a personal level. On a personal level, my parents never gave up on me. They never condoned what I would do. My mom always told me she was praying for me. That did more than anything else in convicting me when I was with the wrong crowd and letting their influences influence me. I knew while I was there trying to fit in that mom was praying for me. And the conviction was always there. I thank God that I even had a pastor that eventually the deacons got rid of in the Southern Baptist Church, but he was a man of God, and he followed, run me down a couple different times and was there to encourage me to turn back, to let the witness of God be an influence in my life. And I never forgot that. I thank God for Christian friends. It didn't give up either. Phone call here and there. All that came into play. Yeah. To get me back on the right track. And allowing, knowing who was influencing me. And allowing the right influences in my life. Know who you should allow to influence you. Find an Apostle Paul. Find someone to look to. And then the second part of this would be know who you should be an influence to. Know who you should be an influence to. Be a Paul. Once you start looking for the right influences, allow them to impact your life. And as you allow them to impact your life, you follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. As you follow them, it can impact your life. And then you can turn things around and be the influence. I don't think that we ought to walk away from ungodly friends, and we should not dismiss ungodly people in our lives. What we ought to do is turn it around and stop allowing them to influence us on a negative level and start influencing them on a positive scale. Those that will not listen, you'll not have to worry about leaving them. They'll leave you. It's not me forsaking those individuals. It's me finally getting the understanding of who I'm going to allow to influence me. And once I allow the right influences in my life, then I will want to influence others. Because I know that's what they need more than anything else. It's what I needed. And I thank God that there were some Pauls in my life to the place when I did get turned around. I appreciated it so much that I wanted to be a Paul. When he says, I'm doing this, telling you all this to warn you. And then he says, be followers of me. But not blindly, follow me as I follow Christ. Follow me. God has allowed people into our lives. Whoever they are, they need you to set an example. They need your Christ-likeness. They need your influence. And as long as you can be the influence, allow your light to shine. Allow your light to shine in their presence. Sad to say, it might be your parents. You might have been raised in an ungodly home. You might have been raised with unbelievers, parents that were lost. And if you allowed them to, they would influence your life to go in a different direction. But God brought something, a more powerful influence in your life, and you understood that you had a need to receive Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. And as you turned to Him, then you allowed the church and you allowed this Christian life to influence, impact your life. And it might be now, you're not to forsake your parents, never forsake your parents, but it might be that you need to be the influence in their lives. You got saved because God brought a Christian influence into your life, brought an Apostle Paul into your life. Now you need to desire to be a Paul. And you will, because if you're allowing the things of Christ to impact your life, you will become fishers of men. You will have a desire to see other people saved. Be an Apostle Paul to your mom and dad, no matter how old you are and how old they are. If they're not saved, then you ought to have a desire to see your parents saved. Going along with them and their ungodly activities and ungodly lifestyle is never going to get them saved. But taking a stand and say, Mom, I love you. Dad, I love you. But I cannot do that because that is not the life of a born-again believer. And share with them why. Share with them how Christ changed you. And impact their lives. If they won't have it, they'll leave you. But you'll stand at their over their gravesite one day, knowing that you did all you could to help them. If you don't do all you can, and they die without Jesus Christ and go to a devil's hell, you'll never be able to live for yourself. Knowing that you knew and you didn't do all you could to help them to know. Yeah, it might be a parent who needs your influence. It might be a brother or sister, aunt or uncle. I don't understand this. As a born-again believer, allowing the lost to have a greater influence over you than you have over them. When they come to your house, and I'm not picking on anybody, I don't have anybody in mind, but when you have the lost come to your house and you say, I can't go to church because I have company that don't go to church, do you realize what you've just done? You've allowed them to have a greater influence over you than you've had over them. What they have is inferior to what you have. What you have is the testimony of Jesus Christ. What you have is the truths of the Word of God. What they need is what you have. And what you are giving them is letting them control, letting them impact your life more than you're impacting their lives. I don't understand that, and I shouldn't, because that's not what God would have us to do. If God has brought an Apostle Paul into your life to bring you the understanding of salvation and Christian life, then you ought to, at that point, then desire to be an Apostle Paul. And you ought to look to mom and dad and say, follow me. You ought to look to brothers and sisters and aunts and uncles and say, follow me. Because I have the truth. I have what you need. Amen. And you might be the only Jesus that they'll ever see. You might have the only words of Christ that they'll ever hear. Yeah. There's been Apostle Paul in your life. You better become Apostle Paul. In the position of saying, be followers of me. Not because of who I am, but because of who I'm following. I'm following the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Might be longtime friends. Might be a reunion with somebody that you've been friends with since childhood. Who's influencing who? Be the example. Be the example. That's exactly what Paul is presenting here to the believers at Corinth. No man is to be worshipped. Even us, the apostles, we're despised, we're weak, we're nobody. But what we have is something that you need. And after he just explains to them that he's a nobody, persecuted, doesn't have a house, doesn't have money, doesn't have it, he says, but what I have is what you need. Be followers of me. No matter what position you have in life, if you're saved, what you have is what most of the world needs. And you need to say to anybody who can, anybody who will listen, anyone that you have influence over, follow me as I follow Christ. I give every head bowed and every eye closed. Be followers of me. If you're saved here this morning, it's because God has allowed an influence in your life. Might have been on a national scale. More than likely, it was on a personal scale. And you've received something that the rest of the world needs. Once you have received an Apostle Paul and his witness, turn it around and then be an Apostle Paul. And be the one for others to look to and follow after. Father, we bow before you. Thank you for the truths of your word. Thank you for this message that we find in 1 Corinthians in chapter 4 as Paul was making this very clear to the believers at Corinth. And I pray, God, that we've made it as clear as we could. The people here, this lighthouse, would understand it. And God, that they would want to be that influence on others. Help us, each and every one, to have an impact on those around us. For this we pray in Jesus' name.